Good morning. It's my pleasure to welcome you to our service this morning here at Blairland Baptist Church. Good to see everyone here today. Don't forget, next week the time will go back, so we fall back next week, next Saturday. Turn your clocks back 1 hour. Good to see everyone here today. I ask that you stand with us, please, as we open our service with the hymn, Love Lifted Me. So stand with us, please.
Sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, seeking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the waters lifted me, now safe am I. Love lifted me. Blessed presence live, ever His praises sing. Love so mighty and so true, merits my soul's best songs. Faithful, loving service to Him belongs. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Can help love lifting me. Souls in danger, look above. Jesus completely saves. He will lift you by His love out of the angry waves. He's the master of the sea, billows His will obey. He, your Savior, wants to be saved.
It's good to welcome everyone here today. If we have visitors today, special welcome to you as well. Turn and greet each other as our pastor comes to the stage, please. Good to see everyone here today.
Good morning, folks. It is good to see you today. I'm glad that you're here with us. We welcome those watching by Facebook and also YouTube. And those who are listening by radio today, you're important to us, and we want this to be your worship service also. So join in with us as we worship the Lord together. Our future is secure in Him, and this day is for Him. So let's worship in spirit and truth. It's just such a blessing to be together this morning. And so let's honor Him in what we do today. May we pray. Father, we thank You for this day, and we thank You for this today that we have, that we can come and worship together. We thank You for the strength that we find in You and also the fellowship that we have with each other. I pray today that we would honor You and lift You up in all that we do and all that we say. In Jesus' name, amen. I'll be preaching today from Hebrews chapter 12, so you can find your place there, Hebrews chapter 12.
Thank you, Pastor. Just a couple announcements. I mentioned the time change, so remember that. Also, we'll continue signing kids up for Upward Sports, and that will be until we have evaluations on Monday the 9th and Thursday the 11th of November. And we'll be looking for, I'm sure, coaches and volunteers to help us with that. So hopefully we can get enough support, volunteers to help us as we have another season of Upward Basketball and Cheerleading. We're going to sing two more hymns that you're familiar with. He hideth my soul, and faith is the victory, as our pastor mentioned, preaching from Hebrews this morning. And it's just about don't give up, perseverance. And we're going to sing songs about that. Faith is the victory, and he hideth my soul. You join in with us as we sing.
His banner over us.
Christ is love. Our sword, the Word of God. We tread the road, the saints above, with shouts of triumph trod. By faith they, like the whirlwind's breath, swept on o'er every field. The faith by which they conquered death is still a shining shield. Faith is the victory. Faith is the victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world. To him that overcomes the foe, white raiment shall be given. Before the angels he shall know his name confessed in heaven. Then onward from the hills of light, our hearts with love aflame, will vanquish all the hosts of night in Jesus' conquering name. Faith is the victory. Faith is the victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world.
Thank you. Aren't you glad that faith is the victory? When there's times we do may feel like giving up, we just hold on to faith and hold on to all the promises that he's given us. We're going to continue with that theme and sing the song, Yes, I Will. No matter how bad things may get, we're going to praise him. And that's what this song is about. We'll ask you to stand with us on this first one and join in with us, and we'll let you sit on the second one. Yes, I will. Talks about he'll never fail us.
I count on one thing. The same God that never fails will not fail me now. You won't fail me now in the waiting. The same God who's never late is working all things out. You're working all things out. Yes, I will lift you high in the lowest valley. Yes, I will bless your name.
you. You may be seated. Yes, when our heart is heavy, we need to sing His praises. This song is called Graves into Gardens, and I think it just lists the things that God can do and has done through Scripture, and He can do the same thing in our lives today. So many of you know it. Just join in with us, Graves into Gardens, and Brian has the solo part.
Thank you.
Heavenly Father, you are the only one who can do all the things that you've promised to do. The Bible is full of examples of your power and authority and your love for us. And Lord, I just pray that our faith would be in you and our faith would be strong in you. Because, God, we thank you for your love for us. We thank you for forgiveness of sin. And we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, and for eternal life through him. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Thank you, worship team. So I look around today in the world, I'm strongly convinced as each day passes that certainly we are in the end times. So we began last week a series about living in the end times. And what we talked about last week was one of the problems that Jesus said that we would have in the end times. What we talked about last week was that Jesus said that anxiety and worry would increase in one's heart living in the end times. And certainly we've seen that. And what I tried to do last week was to share with you a strategy for dealing with worry. It's not something that we really get over. It's something we all struggle with. We all have anxiety about certain things, and we talked about all that. But the answer is to cast all our cares on him because he cares for us. And so that's what we talked about last week. This morning I want to talk about a subject that we all really need to think about. This subject in Hebrews 12, 1 through 3 is about don't give up. And I believe if there's a message that most people need to hear today, it's this message and these principles that we find in Hebrews 12, 1 through 3. Don't give up. So we're going to be talking about words of comfort and words of courage this morning. Listen to the scripture in Hebrews 12, beginning at verse 1. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside the weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. And here's the key phrase in this passage. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Then the rest of the passage tells us, or this passage tells us how we can do that. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. We all have a story. We all have a story of struggle and difficulty. So what we see in this passage, though, are words of comfort and encouragement, words of courage that will help us stay in the race. The Bible warns that in the last days, the temptation to give up in the Christian life will become greater and greater. Many times in the Bible, the analogy or metaphor of the Christian life that is used, particularly by the Apostle Paul, is to talk about the Christian life as being a race. We are in a race. It is a marathon race. So what Paul is talking about here is this race that we're in. We're in this race. So we need encouragement. This is not a time to give up. I know that you're tired. I know that you're worn out. I know that there's a lot of struggle, but this is not the time to give up. And the reason this is not the time to give up is because the finish line is closer than what we may think. Jesus is coming soon. You know, we all want a good finish. We all want a strong finish. And I think really the harder thing to do is to have that that strong finish, because we will finish the race. But we want to finish it well. We want to run across the finish line just like the Apostle Paul, who said, I've fought a good fight, I've kept the faith, and I've finished my course. And so that's our goal. That's what we're looking to do. When we are on the edge of quitting, we're beating down, overwhelmed, comfort will sustain us. But we need more than comfort. And the Bible gives us the comfort that we need. The Lord gives us that comfort. His Spirit gives us that comfort. But also in His Word, we find words of courage. And that's also what we need. We need those words of courage. The dictionary defines encouragement as the action of giving someone support, confidence, or hope. And that's pretty much what we think of when we think of encouragement. But the dictionary also gives a secondary meaning to the word encouragement. It means persuasion, and listen to the verbs here, the persuasion to do or to continue something. And that is also important, and that's what we're looking at here today, to continue in the race, to keep going in the race that we're in. So the Bible is filled with these passages that we find to give us words of comfort and words of courage. And so we're looking at one of those passages today. The book of Hebrews was written in the AD 60s. It was written to a group of people who had come under a lot of pressure from Rome. Nero was the emperor of Rome at that time, so the persecution against Christians really was becoming a hard thing to deal with. They were taken to the Colosseum. They were used as sport. They were thrown to the lions. They were being burned at the stake. And so a lot of people in that time, a lot of the believers, a lot of the Christians, were tempted to give up and to quit and to walk away. So the book of Hebrews that I'm preaching in today was written to encourage them to continue in the race, to not quit. No matter how hard it gets, no matter how heavy the burden may be, how difficult the struggle is, just keep going and keep trusting the Lord. So what the writer of Hebrews is doing here is speaking courage to their hearts. And that's how I want this word to speak to you today. Let the Bible speak courage to your heart in difficult days. We begin here with the word therefore, which is an important word. What therefore does is take us back to chapter 11. Chapter 11 is that great chapter about faith, and we read about all the heroes of faith, so it takes us back to that. But he talks here about a cloud of witnesses. In the Bible, the word witness is used in two ways. The word cloud is used in two ways. The word witness means somebody who can say something or somebody who sees something. The word cloud in the Bible means a cloud that we can see in the sky. It's kind of what we can see. But the word for cloud that's used here means something we can feel. It's like a deep, dense fog. A cloud of fog. If you can picture that, we can feel that. And so what the writer of Hebrews is saying is, I want you to feel that. I want you to feel what the people in Hebrews 11 are saying to you. I want you to see what the people of Hebrews chapter 11 are saying for you. So what he does here is offer us a list of people that give us encouragement and hope. Now, the idea of these witnesses is not that they're watching us, but we are watching them. We're looking to them for the encouragement we need. How did they endure? How did they keep going? What are the words of courage we can see in them and hear from them? And so we're to see that and to hear that from these witnesses. So that's what the writer of Hebrews is telling us to do, to keep believing, to keep fighting, and to keep the right perspective. Noah built an ark on God's word alone. Abraham and Sarah left their home and family to follow God to an unknown place. Jacob tried to run from his problems and found himself in a match with God. Moses refused to let Israel to be oppressed and led God's people to the promised land. Joshua, he walked by faith until the walls of Jericho fell. Gideon, his army was empowered by God. Nehemiah, he worked night and day to rebuild Jerusalem, but he was surrounded by doubters. And he was surrounded by people who were working against him, but he kept going. And as I said, the Apostle Paul, he finished his race and he kept the faith. That's what Hebrews chapter 11 is saying to us. Don't quit. Stay in the race. Jesus said in the last days, the temptation to quit will become greater and greater and greater. We are in those days. They were all pressed to their limits. They hit the wall of desperation. They had to fight back this temptation to give up. So they kept going. They endured. They did not give up. They did not give up in difficult times. And they are witnesses to God's faithfulness to us. When we're tempted to give up, look at Hebrews 11. Look how God worked in their life. And look how God came through for them. When we think that we want to give up and quit, let's remember what God has done in the past. He will do in the present, and He will do in the future. That is our encouragement. That's our witness. That's what we're looking to. That's the words of courage and comfort that we need. So the writer of Hebrews tells us to keep going when the situation is difficult. And he tells us to look at these people of faith. Faith is what we need to endure. And here's what I know, and here's what the Bible teaches us. That with every temptation, God will make a way of escape. What I'm saying to you today and what Jesus has told us in His Word, the great temptation in the last days is going to be to give up and to quit. But here's what I know. That with every temptation that comes our way, He makes a way of escape. That He gives us the strength to keep on going when we think that we cannot keep on going. He gives us the encouragement and comfort to keep going and staying in the battle. So no runner who would actually run the race, you know, would want to give up before they start. And so we have to start the race. And what Paul does here is to give us four things that we need to do and running the race. And I want to talk about that very quickly. First of all, he said this. He said, let us lay aside everything that hinders. Now, something that hinders is not necessarily sin. It could be something good, or it could be something bad. But what happened is it hinders us. It becomes a weight to us. And so the runner has to lay aside all the weights, all those things that would hinder us, that would entangle us as we try to run the race. And too much of anything really can become something that entangles us. Too much of a good thing can become something that entangles us. But basically what it does is it takes our focus off of running the race. And that's where the problem is. Someone has said a weight is not a choice between good and bad. It is a choice between better and best. Last week I talked about anxiety and worry. anxiety and worry in running the race can become a hindrance. It can become a weight. So that's why we need to cast all our care on Him and let the Lord help us so that we can continue in the race and run the race that He has given us to run. The weight that hinders us and anything that weighs us down diverts our attention, saps our energy. It dampens our enthusiasm for the things of God. And the problem is not what the weight is, but what the weight does. It keeps us from running the race well. Second thing He tells us to do is lay aside the sin that entangles us. Sin in the context here, and the people that He's writing to, is the sin of unbelief in Jesus Christ. He was writing to people who were very religious. Some of them had not put their faith in Jesus Christ. That is a sin. That is a sin that keeps us from running the race, from getting in the race. And so what Satan will do is use the sin of unbelief to keep people from Christ. But the idea is this: he wants to keep people from starting to run the race. And running the marathon race, the hardest thing is that first step. The hardest thing in running the race is showing up and being on time and running the race when it begins. And so what Satan wants to do is keep people from getting into the race. As a believer, you're in the race. You're running the race. But as believers, there are times along the way when the sin of unbelief affects us this way, when we doubt the promises of God. And when we begin to doubt the things of God and the purpose of God and the will of God. So that's when it becomes a sin to us. But again, the key phrase in the passage here is let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Endurance is that steady determination to keep going regardless of the temptations to slow us down or to cause us to want to quit. The athletic metaphor here of running the race is very interesting. The word really in the original language in the Greek, the word race and the word agony mean the same thing. They're synonymous. They're synonyms. And so what it is, it's agony. Running the race is agony. Along the way in running your Christian life, and running this race of life that God has given you, there's going to be entanglements. There are going to be sins. There are going to be things that will divert us from running the race that God wants us to run. There'll be pain. There'll be difficulty. Everything's not going to work out the way that we want it to work out. In this marathon race, there's going to be highs, there are going to be lows. But the whole thing is, finish the race. That is the goal. Finish the race. We can't finish it in our own strength. See, that's the point. We are looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. So that's what He tells us to do. Let us run the race with endurance. But we're to run the race, thirdly, we're to run the race with endurance that is marked out before us. In other words, you run your race. Stay in your lane is another way to say it. You run your race. Nobody else can tell you what your race is that God has for you. And you cannot run anybody else's race. But you run your race. The path that God has given you. The boundaries that God has given you. The path that God has put before you. You run your race. When problems arise, some people begin to lose their enthusiasm for the race. My race is being a pastor. My race is to feed the flock. My race is to be well-pleasing to God in study and preparation and in ministry. That's the race that He's given me. That may not be your race. But whatever race it is, then you run the race with endurance. And then he tells us the fourth thing to do here. He said, let us fix our eyes on Jesus. In running the race, what you look at is very important. You can't look behind you. You can't look to the side. You can't look at other people, what they're doing. You've got to look to the finish line. You've got to keep your eyes on Jesus Christ. And when we keep our eyes on Him, nothing will throw us off stride or slow us down, but we'll just keep looking to Him. And the Christian life, like I said, is very much like that. We need this kind of perspective to keep going. Many times what hinders us and many times what slows us down and really gets us off track in the race is that we tend to focus on the circumstances rather than Jesus. So we keep our eyes on Him. When our Lord was here on this earth, He lived by faith. And our Lord demonstrated His faith when He prayed to the Father in heaven. That's how Jesus demonstrated His faith. That's how we demonstrate our faith the same way. We pray, we put our faith in the Heavenly Father. In Hebrews chapter 2, verse 13, the writer of Hebrews quoted the Lord as saying this, I will put my trust in Him. Who's he talking about? The Heavenly Father. I'm going to put my trust in Him. Folks, in running the race and keeping our eyes on Jesus, we have to put our faith and trust in Him. We need His strength. We need His power. We can't run it in our own strength. So that's the example that Jesus gave us. But He tells us here that He is the author and He is the finisher of our faith. The word author means this. In going back to Hebrews chapter 11, you have a lot of heroes of faith. When he talked about the author of our faith in Hebrews 12, what he means there is the chief example. Put him over the example of Abraham, over Moses, over Isaac, over all these people who are mentioned here in Hebrews 11. He is the chief example. Our Lord endured more than they did. He endured more than any of us will ever endure. Therefore, He is our perfect example. He is the author. He is the finisher of our faith. Jesus endured the cross. I've written this down because I didn't want to forget it. But the message of the cross is that Christ has already endured the worst of what we could ever suffer. He endured the worst of what He could suffer, or anyone could suffer, and that He did that for us. He bore our pain. On the cross, He suffered and died for the sins of all the world. Jesus is not only the chief example, the author, but He is the finisher of our faith. The good news of the gospel is this. And that's why He's the finisher of our faith. He is the gospel. He is the good news. But through Him, we can endure. Through Him, we can make it across the finish line. Through Him, we can make it without giving up. Through Him, we can hear what the Apostle Paul said, well done, thy good and faithful servant. We can cross the finish line in that way through Him. Why? Because He enables us to keep going when we think that we cannot carry on. He is the one who carries it through completion. He continued to trust the Father. In John 19:30, Jesus said this, it is finished. In other words, He finished the race. He finished what the Father had for Him to do. And He gives us those words, and that example is finished. John 17:4, Jesus said, I have glorified You on earth. I have finished the work which You have given Me to do. What was it that enabled Jesus to fulfill his completion of the race that God had given him to do? What was it that caused him to endure all that he went through for you and for me? The completion of God's will, knowing that he was completing what the Father had given him to do. And folks, that's what will get us through. Knowing that we are running the race that God has given us to run, and he will enable us to finish that race. But he also says here, looking who for the joy, verse 2, looking into Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. What enabled him to endure? The joy that was set before him. I don't know what all that is, but I know what some of it is. The joy that was set before him to hear the Father say, "Well done, son, you fulfilled the plan." To fulfill the Father's plan. "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased," that was spoken at his baptism. But I know another thing that was his joy. You and me, one day to be together with him in heaven. To know that he died on the cross for us. And he endured the cross. And he went through all that he went through. And for us to receive him, believe in him, to trust in him, one day that joy is that we will be together with him forever and ever. That's why he endured the cross. The message of the Christian life is not the pressures to give up aren't real. The pressure is real to give up. But the message of the cross is that God will get us through no matter what situation that we face in life. One of the illustrations I like is from Florence Chadwick. She was an American swimmer. She was the first American swimmer to swim the English Channel. She also attempted to swim from Catalina Island to the coastline of California. But she failed on her first attempt. But what made it noteworthy and newsworthy was not that she failed. What made it noteworthy and newsworthy was the reason she failed. It wasn't the cold water. It wasn't the muscle cramps. It wasn't sharks. It wasn't the jellyfish. It wasn't even the 16-hour swim. But it was fog. The reason she quit was fog. When the fog rolled in, she wasn't able to see the shoreline, so she quit. She quit, and she was less than 1 mile from the shore. She went back for a second attempt, but the second time, she did not let the fog discourage her, and she finished, and she reached the coastline. Here in our community, there was a man who contacted me. This happened years ago. He was a believer, but he had kind of gotten out of the race. And he found out that he was going to die. And he wanted me to come by, and he wanted to talk. I said, "Sure, I'll come by and talk." So he began to talk, and we were having a good conversation. And in that conversation, I eventually asked him, I said, "Well, let me ask you this. I said, are you right with God? I said, I know that you're a believer. I know that you told me that you started the race, but you're not in the race anymore. But I want to ask you, are you right with God?" He said, "You know, in my mind for years, in the back of my mind, that thought has been there. He said, before I finish my race, I want to make sure that I'm right with God. And that day, he made things right with God. Not long after that, he died and he crossed the finish line. Folks, the hardest step is that first step. And maybe today you're not in the race. You need to get in the race. What that means for you is you need to get in that place of a spiritual relationship with God if you don't have that. But as believers, the courage, the comfort, the encouragement from this passage is stay in the race. Keep going. You know, we may have entanglements along the way. We may get sidetracked along the way. But don't lose your focus. Stay in the race. God will give you the help to finish the way you want to finish. Amen. Let's stand for our prayer. Father, we thank you today for your word, and we thank you for this passage of Scripture. This is a passage of Scripture that is so encouraging to us. I know in my life, Lord, this is a passage that I've gone to many times. These are words of comfort, but they're also words of courage. Father, I'm speaking to that person today who's just about ready to give up. I pray today that they would understand and know that they can bring whatever it is to you and turn it over to you. Whatever the entanglement is, whatever the burden is, whatever the weight is, whatever the sin is, they can bring it to you. And Lord, a lot of times in life we try to fix things on our own and do things on our own. This is a race that we cannot run on our own. Lord, we need your help and we need your strength. Father, help us to have a strong finish and help us to cross the finish line in a way that would bring honor and glory to you. Because the finish line is closer than what we think. We are in the last days, and your coming is very soon. So when we see you face to face, we want to hear the words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Grant that to us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing together.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to
being here today. Keep running the race. Hang in there. Keep going. And the Lord will help us all to finish strong. So that's what we want. We all want a strong finish. Go this week in God's strength and His grace and run your race. Okay? Bring honor and glory to Him. Thank you for being here today. The worship team will come at this time and close us in our song of benediction.
Thank you, Pastor. As we think about run the race, the result is at the end of the race. We know what's waiting for us. We're going to sing the last verse of Victory in Jesus. So we'll start with the third verse.
I heard about a mansion He has built for me in glory. And I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea. About old redemption story, and some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew Him, and all my love is due Him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood.
Thank you. You're dismissed.